you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who've had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I'm a certified career, life, and retirement coach. The other day, I was perusing Sandpoint Living Local magazine, and it was featuring the finest of 2025 from new businesses and restaurants and realtors and yoga and everything. And all of a sudden, I glanced at one of the winners, and I was absolutely delighted and fascinated by one unique category, the finest person of the year. Wow, the finest person of the year. That is quite the honor. And I immediately said to myself, I have to have her on the show. My guest today is Debbie Love, and she is the finest person in Bonner County. I'm sure we will discover that her last name probably has a lot to do with exactly who she is and what she does. Debbie Love is the executive director of the Bonner County Community Food Bank, and we are also joined by her fellow teammate, Anna Kemp, who is the volunteer coordinator. We're going to go to break, and when we return, we'll be joined by both of these generous women who will share who they are, what they do, and how they use their hearts to enhance the lives of others in our community. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lissa Marquardt. My guests today are Debbie Love and Anna Kemp, and they are both huge contributors to enhancing the lives of others through the work that they do with the Bonner County Community Food Bank. Debbie is the executive director, and Anna is the volunteer coordinator. I was inspired to have them both on the show when I discovered that Debbie had recently earned the title of Finest Person of the Year and realized that Anna might be able to allow others to step into opportunities to get to contribute to our community as well. So welcome, ladies. I'm so happy to get to have you guys on the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. So, Debbie, I just got to cut right to the chase. So Finest Person of the Year award. I mean, I didn't even realize that that was an award that Bonner County gave out. But so tell me a little bit about, well, how did you come to find out about the nomination and the being honored with the award and what that looked like from your perspective?
Sure. It was all new to me as well.
Yes. Wow.
I actually found out through a friend that my name was on a list to vote for, and I hadn't heard about this. So wow. I got this call, and she goes, "Oh my goodness, you're one of the finest." And I go, "What?" She's like, "It's you in between two other people." And so that was my first introduction to Sandpoint Living doing, you know, this category. So,
And how did, who nominated? Do you know who it was? It
was, no, I guess there's a committee of people that work through the nominations. So, yeah, and I happened to be out of the country at the time, and I was supposed to come back and do a photo shoot. And so I thought, well, if I wait long enough, they might not want me.
So, they'll go on to the next finest person.
I thought so. No, anyway, but Mandy from the animal shelter actually called, and she goes, "I told them, and they are waiting for you." So I ended up being the finest, and it was an interesting, it's wonderful, and I'm honored, and
absolutely,
still kind of blown away.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I guess I'm just wondering, like, who develops the criteria for that, and, you know, what are some of the things that they're looking for, and, you know, but I think it is, the thing, again, that I found so inspiring by it was that somebody recognized that there are people that are in our community doing things that reach to so many others' lives that you know, it really does elevate you to that position. And I think one of the things I'm, like, especially curious about is how does that play out within your organization? I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, it's, and I know that you did say in the magazine that it's really it's not just you, it's the the workings together of the people that you have on your team. So can you just kind of let us know an overall picture of what does your organization look like? How do you guys kind of function together? And how does that come to be?
For me, when I was recruited to come over, Alice Wallace was my predecessor, and she had been there for 16 years, and her mother started the food bank, and they were looking for someone to come in and fill the role. And I do have a nonprofit background, which has always been a part of who I am, and went over, and I took a look at I was able to work under her for a few months and realizing that what's really important in everything I do is relationships. Yeah. So I thought I am going to make sure that the culture here is compassion and that anyone that walks through the door is taken care of.
Nice.
So I had great team members there that were there, you know, with us, and they've been there for 12 to 13 years.
Right.
And then we're able to bring on folks like Anna and people that really have it in their heart to want to take care of people.
Right. Yep, and so was that just kind of a legacy that was passed down to you, or?
I would say my mom and grandmother, for sure. Yeah, it's always been part of just give what you don't need kind of thing. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's just who I am. And the food bank really spoke to me. I actually learned about the food bank in Sandpoint when I had a Girl Scout troop. And
oh, interesting.
So we would do food drives for them when they were located up on Fifth Avenue by Server Burger. There. So, yeah, we would do these food drives. And I thought, wow, I didn't realize Sandpoint had a food bank, and that would be fun to get involved. And so that was kind of my start with the food bank here locally. And then I was offered to come over and apply for the job. And, yeah, and I just started there and just spoke to me.
You must have done something to get offered to come over to be a part of it. So was there, are there any stories there that you want to share?
Oh, sure. The woman that was working there at the time, she was on another board with me for Distinguished Young Women. My name came up because I was currently the director of the Pondere Arts Council at the time.
Okay.
And then prior to that, I worked for Girl Scouts as well. But so I had, again, relationships, helping, being involved in the community. And that's kind of how my name came up. And then I met the director and the board, and they hired me on to take over Alice's legacy there.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
And so was that just like a full on green light for you? Like no hesitation, no doubts, just like, yep, this is what I'm doing.
Yes, actually. And there's never been a bad day. So I know it's really neat to find something that you just love and never dread going.
Right.
Every day I wake up, I'm excited to be there. And honestly, there is a lot of joy and sorrow.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of sorrow too when you see parents skipping meals so their children can eat, but the joy in seeing the gratitude, and with the donors too. So it's on both sides, the clients and then those that we've helped that come back around and help.
Yeah.
It's just so fulfilling. And the people you meet through the volunteers and the staff, it's a beautiful place.
I know. I can only imagine. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it and maybe getting involved as well, and hopefully getting some other people kind of enthusiastic about it too.
Yeah.
So, and you mentioned kind of briefly that it was always a part of your life to kind of give to others. So did you have, how was that ingrained in you? Was that something that maybe your mom or grandma just kind of had you participate in? Or I always think it's good to pass on information for parents to help their kids, you know, to kind of get that, give back kind of spirit.
Yeah, my grandmother was a nurse, and she played a big role in my upbringing. So she worked at a local nursing home, and every day after school, I would go and help.
Oh, nice.
And so we were able to get stuffed animals and wrap them and give them to the patients there and just walk them around. And so it's been, I think, just being raised that way, but also I feel my best self helping people.
Yes.
It's just who I am.
And did you always know that even when you were little?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I did have a corporate job at one point and just clocking in, clocking out. And I knew just my soul, like this
soul sucking. Yeah.
This is not where I'm going to land.
Exactly.
Yeah,
And I think if you do have a heart to help, that does start at a very young age. And and the more you can nurture it, the better. So again, you know, it's like for And I will talk about some of the opportunities that maybe parents can participate with their kids too, if there are some, and you know, anything to kind of get more people to experience the joys, like you said, of what that's like to be able to contribute. So, and I love that your grandmother did that with you.
Yes. And seeing my mother, I'll just share this quick story.
Sure.
She, I was in junior high and we were sleeping, and all of a sudden my brother came and he was waking me up, and he's like, "Deb, there's somebody in our living room." And it's like, "What do you mean?" And he said, "There's this man with this white beard sitting in a recliner and he has his shoes off." And so I said,
"It's not Santa."
Yeah, it's not Santa. I know that was my first thought, Santa. But we went and woke my mom up, and she said, "Oh goodness, you know, there was this stranger in our home sitting in a recliner with his socks hanging over the back of the recliner."
Gosh.
And so she called the police, of course, and he came, and then they asked if she wanted to press charges. And this is like the first time I really looked at my mother, and she said, "No, he's staying for breakfast." And it was kind of like, wow. We happened to leave the front door unlocked that night. So anyway, and he just saw a light on and came in and was warming up. It was during the winter, and he was a lovely gentleman, and he went on his way after breakfast, and I still have no idea who he was, but...
I remember when you told me that story.
It was very...
He saw the light on, and he's like, okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, and it just, just seeing my mother...
Light, for sure.
He did, the right light. Yeah. And just seeing my mom just... He's staying for breakfast. It just said everything to me about who she is as a person. So
And that it was safe and it worked out okay.
It was, yes.
Yeah. And so what was, like, how did he react? I mean, do you remember that? Was he?
Oh, very gracious. I know he didn't eat a lot. He just wanted to warm up and leave, but she kept feeding him. So
I love that so much.
I know.
That's a beautiful start. And I love how it played out into your career life, which is, you know, something that is always a benefit. But
knowing that you have a choice.
Right. Yeah. There was a choice there for her.
Yes.
It could have gone two ways. So.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a very kind-hearted way to do that. So love that. So Anna, you get to coordinate the volunteers.
Yes.
So tell us how you became involved in getting to have that job.
At the food bank. Yeah. Actually, I started as a volunteer. Looking to plug into the community. So
nice.
When I first moved here, I knew that I needed to, start somewhere. And I said, I'm gonna look in the food bank and see if they have any volunteer opportunities. And I met Debbie that day, and it was a beautiful introduction to this mission driven organization. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is a place where I'd like to spend more time if I can. And the opportunity came up where there was a position opened, and here I am.
And so why the food bank? I mean, there's a lot of service type opportunities that we have in the community. What struck with you?
Yeah, for me personally, food has been a passion for me my entire life. And it really goes down to the origins of food. So I find myself really drawn to food production. I ran a small program in Colorado that was an educational program linking farms and classrooms, teaching children about food and food production.
Nice.
And being able to bring that enthusiasm I have for the origins of food into a food bank just felt very natural to me. And in being able to work with Debbie, who's someone who's really open to ideas about different programming and how we can bring in, my interests to the organization as well, and offer those things to our recipients and our volunteers and other people in the community. So.
Oh, I so love that. I love that you both kind of, one of the biggest challenges that I find for most people is that to find that hook that kind of gets them inspired to follow their heart, follow their passion down a path. And I love that both of you guys got the message in rather clear ways, and you got to step into this beautiful opportunity. So we need to go to break, but We'll come back and visit some more of this with Debbie and Anna, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lissa Marquardt. I'm a certified career, life, and retirement coach, and my guests today are Debbie Love and Anna Camp from the Bonner County Community Food Bank. And before we went to break, I was talking to Anna about getting to be the volunteer coordinator for the food bank and how she started as a volunteer and just kind of fortunately got to land in a position where she can coordinate the work of others. So, Anna, can you share with us, what is that process like? What is your job like? How do you get people, things like that?
People walk in the door and introduce themselves and pick up a paper application, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
I imagine a lot of our volunteers will find us either online or through other events in the community, if it's a faith-based group or otherwise. Mm. We'll have a quick introduction, have them fill out some paperwork, and walk through the market and sort of explain the opportunities that they may have in the market with the donations that we receive. Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the different positions that somebody could ponder if they're listening for ideas?
Yeah. A lot of our volunteers work in our market. And so for those who may not know how our food bank runs is all of the shoppers that come into our food bank have a client choice market that they can go and pick up the food that they eat in their household or for their dietary needs. So instead of receiving a box of food every week, shoppers can come in and walk through the market and pick up the food that they eat in their household. So a lot of our
so they don't have to just eat Twinkies or something
have something that they may have an allergy to or that they would never eat otherwise.
Nice.
So a lot of what happens in our market is we receive donations from either a food drive or our grocery rescue program, which is another thing that we're really proud of. Mm. And the volunteers will sort through the items that we receive from these collections and sort them and mark them. Everything in our market has a point value to it. And based on how many people you're feeding in one's household, they'll receive a certain number of points every month to shop with. And so items are marked and shelved and faced and sorted and put out in the market. So a lot of our volunteers will work with sorting donations and bringing them out into the market, which is great because it really develops a consistent sort of sense of community, because many volunteers will pick up a shift and say, they're a Tuesday morning shift, and you can create a culture, on your Tuesday morning shift. You can come in at 8:30, you can leave at 12, and it is joyful. I think, and I'll say a lot of that too is a lot what Debbie brings into the culture of the food bank is that we're a place that provides food, but also providing dignity and all of the things that, we as, people should be receiving.
Yes.
And
how do you guys go about doing that? Because I realize that's probably a big part of the culture of what you do and how you make people feel is providing the dignity part. So can you tell us a little bit about, what your underlying ideas on that are and how you kind of approach that?
I think the market, having the market with choice versus being sent home with a bag or a box of food is a lot of, provides dignity for people
that's very true.
Are on their last leg or down and out, and they can come in and pick what they need. And it's really a good program. And we have food banks in Post Falls and Coeur d'Alene that have adopted our method. So it's nice to be able to share what we're doing for folks to.
Yeah. Just thinking about it, I would imagine that it allows whoever is doing the shopping to to have almost like a real world situation that everybody else gets to have, with they don't find themselves in that situation where they're maybe under some sort of a situation that they were limited. And they can pick and choose for their family what their likes are and their dislikes are and their, like you said, the allergies. So I love that. Where did you get that idea?
Actually, Alice, our predecessor, she got the idea from a little pantry outside of Seattle.
Oh, nice. So, I love that.
Yeah, it's been great.
And so tell us a little bit about the grocery recovery.
Oh, program. Grocery rescue?
Grocery rescue.
It's one of my, like, with my, like, sort of passion for food, I like to get my hands on the food. But just seeing the donations when they come in. So it's a program. I think it's also called Food Rescue. But we have a partnership with five or six now different grocery stores in the community that everything that they can no longer merchandise at full price, they will donate to us. So if it's something that is, you know, it's produce that may have a bruise or a box that got dropped and they can't market it at full price, they'll donate it to us, or things that are past or close to a sell-by date. Mm-hmm. We receive those items and go through them. And we'll our van goes out 5 days a week to up to six different grocery stores.
It's incredible.
And I think it provides a lot of choice for also the shoppers that are in our market, because, you know, it's not, you know, just one palette of a single kind of food. It changes every day. Every day we have something different.
Right. And that must keep it fun for them too, so they don't just end up going like, yeah, this is what I can get every day or week. And, you know, it probably is exciting when they get home as well. So there's some elements of surprise.
Yeah. I would say probably 95% of our fresh food comes from this program.
Oh my gosh,
which is
awesome.
Incredible. And all of our produce in the market is 0 points. So we're encouraging, you know, choice for nutritious food, but also the short shelf life that it has, and to move it off.
Oh, that's so smart.
So
I love that. So everything is just store-bought. They come in, they load up their bag, spend their points, and they go home.
Once a week. Households can come in once a week to do their weekly shopping trip.
Love that. And do you usually see families come in together, or is it kind of a little bit of everything?
Yeah, when school's out, we notice
more kids coming in.
Yeah, more kids or lunch breaks. People will come on their lunch breaks to shop. And we have a few retired educators that we have little carts for the little tykes, and so
fun.
Cute. But they really enjoy seeing the math that happens as well.
Oh, that's
so
great.
They're able to watch. We provide pens and pencils if they need to keep track. And so one of our volunteers and board member, Carol, she just loves to be a part of that with the child and the parent, and just going through and mathing it out too. So,
well, you know, life skills, there's no doubt about that. And so that's really fun. And so then how do you work with just different groceries? Where do you get your majority of your donations from?
On the floor, in the market, we will get anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 pounds we can rescue from the grocery stores every week.
Wow.
So, we're lucky enough to receive those donations. And we also have a lot of food drives. I know in the month of December, we had close to 50 different food drives in a period of a month, the holiday season. The community really shows support. And
it was over 75,000 pounds of food that was brought in
through local
businesses. And
and that makes, it makes us just great. I mean, to me, it's like it's a culture of support and compassion. And it's really wonderful to see, like different banks and other small businesses come together, and school groups and faith-based groups really just, you know, raising food for families who need a little extra support. And it's a great way to stock our market, because I feel like it really benefits, you know, those tangible benefits of just being able to be provided nutritious food in a market. And then also the support that I think that is, you know, less talked about or spoken about is what we receive as people that want to provide a service and support people. And it's yeah, it's a fantastic sort of chain to be a part of.
Oh, yeah. I think that's fabulous. So, you know, I'm always just kind of curious, like, if you have any, like, favorite success stories that, you know, you've kind of gotten to witness due to who you get to serve.
The birthday cake.
Oh, that was, yeah, that was, yeah, I've got one that's just, it's really over the course of an afternoon. I think Debbie could probably speak to one sort of over the course of like a longer period of time.
Sure.
So every person who comes in to ask or receive services from the food bank will go through an intake process. And, you know, they'll provide, you know, that we serve people that are residents of Bonner County, and we'll ask for any income information that they may have. And we'll also ask for how many people were feeding or they are feeding in their households. And a young man came in, I think it was last year or sometime, and he was going through a separation with his spouse, and he had three children. And he was, you know, I was asking, okay, well, you know, are your children in your household? Are, you know, how many people are there? And he said, well, okay, you know, here's, you know, my oldest daughter. And as he was giving me the date and I was writing it down, he sort of looked up at me and he's like, and it today is her 14th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of had this shocked kind of look on his face.
Realization,
like,
oh, yeah.
No, like I have forgotten my daughter's 14th birthday. And it was this thing where I could sort of see him like sort of
slouch
a little bit further into his chair. I'm like, okay, we can work, right. We can work something out. And so, you know, we're able to, you know, walk through the market and we're looking at, we get some bakery rescue from the grocery stores, and there was this, you know, big pink sheet cake.
Oh my gosh!
That was on the shelf, and then he looked at me, and then I kind of looked it over, and I'm like, okay, this is for your girl.
Oh.
And it was this sense of you know, sort of relief that is, oh, you know, taking some of the pressure off of.
Yeah.
Of all of those stressors that, you know, we're a part of, you know, if it's, you know, paying your rent or relationship problems or, you know, your car not working and having to, you know, take on that kind of expense. And then, you know, being able to come into the food bank and we can, mm-hmm. you know, work with you to provide whatever support it may be, if it's a referral to another organization that can help out where that is beyond food, that we can provide in those serendipitous moments where there's this, you know, this beautiful birthday cake that he could give to his daughter that
made his day and hers, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and just made like a rough situation, just a little bit lighter.
Yes.
You know, just a little bit.
Definitely. Yeah. I love that. That was beautiful. It's time for us to go to break again. So stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lisa Marquardt. My guests today are Debbie Love and Anna Kemp from the Bonner Community Food Bank. And before we went to break, we were talking about like some of the success stories and some of the moments of joy that these women get to experience by being a part of the food bank. And Anna was sharing a great story about how she was able to give a dad a birthday cake on his daughter's birthday. And I just want you to share what you guys shared during break about what happened after that.
Well, I didn't know this, but I guess the young person came in
and he donated a cake back to say thank you.
I love that.
For the help that Anna was able to help them with.
And to be able to touch people's lives so they can reciprocate and give back
is that
is a huge gift to give people, for sure.
Yeah, it really was. I'm shocked. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, that's wonderful.
And there's no expectations, it happens more often than not, which is beautiful.
Again, it's all about the feeling that gave him to be able to give back to somebody else in a similar situation, or so that's one of the things that I love the most about this. And that's part of the reason why I was so inspired to have both of you on the show today, is because I am working with people that are of retirement age, and you know, perhaps they've had a very fulfilling career and they felt their sense of purpose along the way, or maybe they didn't and they're still looking for something to do that. And, you know, we do have a lot of people of retirement age moving to this area. And from the people that I talk to, a lot of them really don't know what to do with their full days. So that's why I really wanted you guys to get an opportunity to speak to not only what needs do you have, but what, as a volunteer, what do you get to walk out of the door at the end of the day getting to feel because of experiences that you have? Like, what kind of growth do you see in your volunteers?
I really see a really cohesive community in the shifts from day to day. Right. You know, they people come together. And, you know, you would print, everyone gets their name badge as they come in and sign in for their shift. It's really, wonderful watching, you know, volunteers train other volunteers as well. And it's a nice community to be a part of. And we have a lot of fun, too. That's so another fun thing that we keep high on the priority list is we're going to have fun together, and nice. And that's a positive part of our community, what we offer at the food bank. And we're open 5 days a week, so there are opportunities Monday through Friday. We have morning shifts, 8:30 to 12, and afternoon shifts that are a couple days a week, 12 to about 3. And some volunteers we've had, they'll be there, 20 hours a week. Because it is that big of a part of their lives is being part of the community. It's working in our market. It's, providing assistance to people who need help. And it's, smiling and greeting, the shoppers as they come through, and they recognize what they like. And it's like, okay, we do have, spinach over here for you today. And helping each other outside of the food bank. We've got a great group of people that get together once a week, for just a gathering outside of the food bank as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And we also have, events that we do. So if, a volunteer, doesn't, they wouldn't be able to come in once a week on a market shift, we have events that we can do and food drives that, there's an opportunity to be a part of, or fundraising that would be, if you have any fundraising skills, that would be a very welcome skill to bring to us. It's
so you just have kind of a very well-rounded opportunity of experiences for people to have, and so to not hold back. In other words, is kind of what I'm hearing, is that if you want to make a contribution in this regard, then maybe just show up and
have a conversation.
Talk to you about
case by case. And when everybody come in, it's on, our volunteer application. Are there any special skills that you can share with us?
Yeah.
And we will, well, let's start the conversation and talk about it.
Yeah. And the fact that you're willing to work with them around, it's like, no, this is the only thing we have going. No, that's not it. It's like, no, let's look at you and what can you bring to the table so that it's a good fit all the way around. And I was thinking, one of the things that must be nice too is that by working there, you probably get to know some of the shoppers that come in and a little bit about their lives and their stories. And it's what a nice way to just kind of do some outreach and be able to give back in
absolutely
very touching ways.
Yeah. So there are about 40% of the people who receive services from the food bank are on fixed income. They're retirees as well.
Interesting.
And so. Yeah, you do know who comes in, and you, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, a great social time for them too.
Yeah.
So we'll have some of the volunteers on Fridays will bring us flowers from their garden during the summertime, and so we'll just decorate the whole food bank with their flowers. And so, you really do get to know them beyond just the market.
Yeah. So, you know, I just, I thought it would be nice for you guys to be able to also share your upcoming event that you have going on next week, I believe it is, right?
Sorry. Yep. Yeah. On March 6th.
March 6th.
I know it is.
Coming right up.
Here we go. And yeah, this is a fun event. It's the Empty Bowl.
Okay.
That's the title. And it's
the Empty Bowl. I love it.
So it's sort of raising awareness around food insecurity in the community. And what is, I think everyone really likes about this program is the partnership with the Sandpoint High School Art Department. Because I think as, you know, we started the program, you talked about how, you know, maybe Debbie had, you know, this you know, courage to follow this call of like service to do the work that we're involved in today. And this provides an opportunity for high school students to do that very thing. So in their art class, they're making bowls in their ceramics class.
Oh, that's so cool.
And all of those bowls are unique works of art that they create, and then they are then donating them to the food bank, and we're bringing them to the Marigold Bistro on March 6th, along with a couple other restaurants. We're going to fill those bowls with soup.
Yes.
And patrons can come in, and for $20, they're going to get a handmade, one-of-a-kind bowl filled with soup donated by three local restaurants. And it starts at 12:30 at Marigold Bistro, and our suggested donation is $20. And you're going to get a keepsake bowl, soup, bread, and dessert.
Very nice. And so it runs from 12:30 till 2.
Yep.
That is so. And whose brainchild was that? I love that whole idea.
It's a national program that food banks have done. And so we started it here after COVID. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. And is that a once a year event?
Springtime. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great. And then do you host at different restaurants throughout the year as well, or just, or do you want to? I guess that's a bigger question.
The students, their participation is so important.
Yes.
So it's based on their schedule, essentially. So.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sandpoint's growing, as we all know. And so how is Sandpoint's growth affecting what's going on with the food bank, or what changes do you see?
The influx of need has grown significantly.
Okay.
So in the last November and December, when the SNAP benefits were, which is a food stamp program, formerly called food stamps, was suspended, we had a 50% increase. So,
oh my goodness.
We're currently serving now this year, and it continues. It's grown. I thought maybe we would level off in January, but we're at 3,700 families a month right now that we're serving. So
that's a lot.
It's a lot of, a lot of people. And I've noticed, like Anna said, the demographics are elders and fixed income families. We're serving more of that nature, but also a lot of working families that, you know, even though they're making $20 an hour, they still just cannot make ends meet with the cost of rent and, you know, all the things that go into living.
Yeah.
So.
And do you see a lot of people flowing in and out of Sandpoint because of the growth here, or how is that affecting what you're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of our younger families are moving out of the area for work or just, you know, not as high a cost of living. So,
yeah. And then do you have any that are like outside of Sandpoint city limits, or is it pretty much?
Yeah, once in a while we do from Boundary County. They have a pantry up there, but sometimes it's limited with hours. So they'll come down to us and we'll serve that, you know, we'll help anyone that needs food that walks through our door. So.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And we also have a Priest River location.
Yes.
So that's a part of Bonner Community Food Bank as well. So it's all of Bonner County. So it was in the city of Priest River. Mm-hmm. We've got a small pantry there on South McKinley. So,
Good to know. Yeah. So if someone wants to volunteer or needs your services, how do they best reach you?
I just walk right through the front door.
Okay, and, yep. And the address is?
1707 Culver's Drive. It's off of North Boyer near the UPS distribution and the airport site. Or a phone number, too, is 208-263-3663. So it's 263-FOOD.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, it has been such a pleasure to have you guys on the show and to learn more about what you're doing and how your heart and soul are in it. And, just thank you so much for sharing both of you what you're doing. And it's apparent that you both have such great landings in helping people in this way. So thanks for sharing. And hopefully it inspires others to get out there and do the same. So
thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. And
you bet. Thank you. So that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening in. Be sure to tune in next month. And in the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live.